So welcome back to another episode of Wake Up with WFAB. My name is Sabrina, Coach Sabrina, and today we're going to be talking about the Science of You, Part 3. So in the last couple of weeks, in the last couple of episodes, we've been going over the Science of You, everything coming from the book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. We've covered the Quantum You on Part 1. If you want to go back and listen to it, you could just go on Spotify. To look back at the other episodes. For part two, we covered overcoming your environment. And for part three today, we will be covering overcoming your body, how to overcome your body. Something that I realized, though, is that today is more so going to be to acknowledge more so the problem without necessarily bringing the solutions today like we did last week with overcoming your environment. But again, we'll be going deeper with the lessons in the next couple of weeks as well. Okay, so let's get right into it because we got some good stuff coming in today. Let me just get myself in order here. Okay, so we're going to get into it, guys. And at the beginning, it's going to be a little bit like scientific, and then we're going to be going more into other things as well. Okay, so every time you have a thought, okay, there is a biochemical reaction in the brain, okay? So basically what you're doing is that you're making a chemical. You don't know that you're doing it, but that's what's happening, okay, at that level. The brain then releases specific chemical signals to the body where they act as messengers of the thought, okay? Follow me here and take notes. If you're taking notes, I'm maybe going to be going fast a little today. You could just go back on this on the podcast. When the body gets these chemical messages from the brain, it complies instantly by initiating a matching set of reaction directly in alignment with what the brain is thinking. Okay? So the brain and the rest of the body interact via powerful electrochemical signals. Okay? All cells have receptors, sites on their exterior surface that receive information from outside their boundaries, okay? And match the frequency and electrical charge between a receptor site and an incoming signal from the outside. The cell basically gets turned on to perform certain tasks. What I'm trying to say here is that the body will feel what the brain is thinking. If you want it in a short, simple way, all I've said in the last 2 minutes was basically the body will feel what the brain is thinking. Okay. I'm not going to go deep into the science of it, but you know how in, I don't know if you guys had like a bio class, but you know, they went into like neurotransmitters and neuropeptides and all that stuff. I don't know if you guys, I'm into that stuff. But yeah, I'm not going to go dive deep into it. But there's like a scientific level deep into it as well. Well, actually, let me see. Yeah, no, I don't think that. Anyways. Yeah, so anyways, I'm going to do it quickly because I want you guys to get the value. So neurotransmitters, neuropeptides, and hormones are the cause and effect chemicals for brain activity and bodily functioning. Okay, so basically neurotransmitters, in a short ways, are the chemical messengers that primarily send signals between nerve cells, allowing the brain and nervous system to communicate, okay? There's different types of neurotransmitters, and they're all of them are responsible for their own particular activity, okay? Now, we have neuropeptides, okay? These are the second type of ligand. We have three type of ligands in our cell activities that are used and activated when we have thoughts and in a thought process happening in our brain, okay? Neuropeptides make up the majority of these messengers, okay? And then we have hormones, okay, which further influence us to feel certain ways, okay? So neuropeptides and hormones are the chemical responsible for our feelings. I'm going to tell you why this is important for us in one phrase. For a purpose, think of neurotransmitters as chemical messengers primarily from the brain and our mind, okay? Neuropeptides as chemical signalers that serve as a bridge between the brain and the body to make us feel the way we think, okay? And then hormones are the chemicals related to feelings primarily in the body. So the neurotransmitters are what are sending the signal from the brain to the nervous system. Then we have neuropeptides that serve as a bridge. And then we have hormones that help us generate emotions, okay, and feelings, okay? So, yeah, I like that type of stuff. So, now, I'm going to skip through this. Okay, so now in general, you have to understand that thoughts are primarily related to the mind and feelings are connected to the body. Therefore, as the feelings of the body align to thoughts from a particular state of mind, mind and body are now working together as one. And that's what we call a state of being. Okay, so when the mind and the body are in unison, the end product is called a state of being. Okay, so thoughts are the language of the brain and feelings are the language of the body. Okay, I'm letting some more people in. So a state of being means we have become familiar with a mental emotional state, a way of thinking and a way of feeling, which has become an integral part of our self-identity. Okay. So, but that some things I'm going to say today is going to blow your mind. So just stick around, okay, with me for a minute. But years of thinking certain thoughts and then feeling the same way and then thinking equal to those feelings creates a memorized state of being in which we can emphatically declare our I am statement as an absolute, okay? That means we're now at the point where we define ourselves as this state of being. Our thoughts and feelings are merged. And when you do it long enough, you kind of create the habit of staying there. I'm going to explain in a minute. So, warning, when feelings become the means of thinking of it, we cannot think greater than how we feel, we can never change. So if you're never able to think greater than what you're feeling right now, you won't be able to change. You're going to remain in the same state. What I'm trying to say is, if you feel sad and you're trying to get more out of life and you're trying to, you know, feel better, but you keep thinking the same thoughts, you're not going to be able to feel better. Basically, that's what it means. Okay. To change is to act greater than the familiar feelings of the memorized self. It is to be greater than the body. So if you want to be able to have changes in your reality, have changes in your mentality, in your physical world, you need to be able to think greater than your body, therefore think greater than your feelings. But it's like what I was telling you guys last week about overcoming the environment. It's like when you're seeing that you're not in the situation that you want, you still have to be able to see above that. Okay, so sometimes you're not going to be feeling great, but if you want to feel better, you're going to have better thoughts because your thoughts determine the way you feel, therefore determine the way your body feels. Okay, so that's very important. I want to see this. Okay, so I'm going to give you guys an example, and I'm sure that you guys can relate to that because we've all done it. We're human, so listen to this. As a practical example, let's say you're driving to work this morning and you begin to think about the heated encounter you had a few days ago with a coworker. Okay, something hit the fan with a coworker a couple of days ago. Okay, and as you think the thoughts associated with that person and that particular experience, your brain starts releasing chemicals that circulate through your body. Okay, so very quickly you're going to start feeling the same way you were thinking. You're probably going to become angry. You know how you know you're going to think of a beef or something that happened with your significant others, with a friend, and then you start getting mad again. Then you kind of remember that and you're like, and you get, what are you doing? You're programming your mind and conditioning your mind to relive the same emotions, to rethink the same thoughts, therefore relive the same emotions. Okay. So how does that work is that your brain, your body basically is sending a message back to your brain saying, yep, I'm feeling mad again. Okay. You know, we're about to get mad again. Karen, you know, is pissing me off. XYZ again. Okay. And so in effect, your feelings are now controlling your thinking because you're letting the outside world, you're letting your body, your feelings, because body equal feelings, because feelings are the language of the body. You're letting that control your thinking. Your body is now driving your mind. Okay. Not knowing it. Okay. I'm going to get deep in all of this. Okay. the reason why it's going to be so hard to change something like that is because during those times, it feels impossible to be able to think greater than the body, greater than the feelings, because your feelings are taking away. And then you have those negative thoughts that you're not able to get out of because you still focus on the feelings that you're getting. But if you're not able to change the thoughts, it's not going to change. You understand how it's really have to be really thinking greater than the way you feel and greater than what you see in the physical world and being, it's all about you. It's all about your thoughts because you truly manifest, you become what you think about most. It's really that. It really is that, whether it's about overcoming your environment or your body. Okay. What most people don't know, let me let somebody in. What most people don't know is that when they think about a highly charged emotional experience, they make the brain fire in the exact sequences and patterns as before. They're firing and wiring their brains to the past by reinforcing those circuits into ever more hardwired networks. Okay, we are capable of reliving a past event over and over, perhaps thousands of times in one lifetime. You know how I told you that that humans are the only animal capable of suffering 10,000 times for the same experience? That's what it is right here. That's exactly what it is right here, because we keep the same thoughts and we expect new results with thinking the same thoughts and feeling the same feelings. Doesn't work that way. Okay. When the body remembers better than the conscious mind, that is when the body is the mind, that's called a habit. Okay. Because it is this unconscious repetition of you thinking the same thoughts that trains the body to remember that emotional state equal to or better than the conscious mind does. And then again, when the body remembers better than the conscious minds, that's automatic. You don't know you're doing that. You know what I mean? Because the more you've done it, the more you suffer the same situation by thinking the same thought, the more you're letting your body take over without being conscious. But that becomes a habit because it becomes something automatic, just like brushing your teeth. You don't have to be like, yeah, I have to brush my teeth before going out the house because if not, you know, morning breath. No, you don't even say, okay, right now I'm waking up, I'm walking to the bathroom, I am taking my toothbrush. You don't think that. You know, when you brush your teeth, you go and you brush your teeth. Like sometimes I brush my teeth and I'm answering DMs. Like I don't even realize I'm brushing my teeth, right? Same thing here, same thing that's happening, okay? So scientists say, and psychologists say that by the time that you hit your mid 30s, that was crazy, okay? Our identity or personality will be completely formed. So by your mid 30s, your personality and habitual habits, automatic responses, everything is more so formed, okay? Which is why we say, you know how it's harder to change somebody that's in their 50s, you know, at a certain point, for example, my mom or, you know, your grandparents or whatever, at a certain age, it's really hard to change the way they think and the way they act because they've been doing it for so long on autopilot without even realizing it, doing the same old, thinking the same old, doing the same thing, having the same routine in the morning, the way they wake up, the coffee that they drink at the time that they drink, and the cigarette that they go smoke at 9 a.m. You know what I mean? That automatic routine, that's what happens. After a certain age, it's really hard to break it. It's still possible, but it gets harder. Whereas when you're a kid, you just absorb, you a sponge, you can do whatever, you know? Kids are very absorbing everything we do, right? So those programs that we've been building and thanks to our conditioning and programming, okay, over the years are running us because the body has become the mind, okay? This means that we will think the same thoughts, feel the same feelings, react in identical ways, behave in the same manner, believe the same dogmas, and perceive reality the same ways. About 95%, guys, of who we are by our midlife, which is around our 30s, which is crazy to think that, you know, it's midlife because you could live longer than that. But anyways, is a series of subconscious programs that have become automatic. So what you do starting in your mid-30s, Sarah's like, that's me. you're so cute. Everything you're doing basically has become automatic. It's subconscious, but it has become automatic. It's just on autopilot. Okay. So now Since the body becomes the subconscious mind, it's easy to see that in situations where the body becomes the mind, the conscious mind no longer has much to do with our behavior. It's to the point where you're just being unconscious at all the times, but you don't know you're doing it because it's autopilot. It's automatic based because you, because the thing is that sometimes you haven't been aware. And then because of that, you go again and think the same, you keep thinking the same thoughts over and over and over and over and over again, or you like to suffer. Right? You like to suffer. So you rethink of something that happened a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. But what does that do is that it puts you back into that feeling of when you are going through that exact same situation, but you're going it, you're living it in the present. So what happens is that you live in the past continuously. You know what I mean? You're feeling in the past continuously. Okay. So much like a computer program, these actions have become automatic functions that can run very fluidly and easily. Okay, so you don't realize you're doing all of that. Because it has memorized how to do all of these deeds through much repetition. This happens because you do it through repetition, like a lot, over and 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 over again. Okay, she no longer has any conscious thought about how she does them. They're habitual. You're building habits. You're building the habits of being sad. You're building the habit of being stressed. You're building the habit of feeling anxious. That's what it is, right? Think about that. 5% of the mind is conscious, struggling against the 95% that is running subconscious automatic programs. Crazy. Only 5% of your brain at this point is conscious, which is not... It's a lot. You're fighting against a big army there. 95% of everything that has become automatic based on your conditioning and programming of the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. That's great. What happened is that we've memorized a set of behaviors so well that we have just become an automatic, habitual body mind. It's a body mind that we call it. Okay. When mind and body are one, we are being the memory of ourselves. Isn't that crazy? When body and mind are one, we're just becoming the memory of ourselves. And if 95% of who we are by age 35 is a set of involuntary programs, it follows that 95% of our day, we are unconscious. That means that 95% of your day, you're being unconscious. You don't know, you're just on autopilot. Which is why we practice different things such as meditation, practicing breath work, right? Being in the present moment, things like that, to be conscious and to be able to, you know, connect with ourselves on a deeper level. That's scary. It is. When I read that, I was shocked. Like, honestly, I was really shocked with that, especially the fact that it's 95%, not 70, not 50, not 60, 95. It's like you only know what's up 5% of the time. Crazy, if you ask me. Okay. And then that's what happened. Imagine if you're not even aware of that. Imagine when you're not personally developed. Craziness. Cause that, I think it's 100%. You just 100% don't know what's happening around your life. Okay. We live by habit where when we're no longer aware of what we're thinking, doing, or feeling, we just become unconscious. And that's why we say that the greatest habit we must break is the habit of being ourselves. Drop the mic right here. Right? Everybody's just like, wow, I know. The entire book, I'm like, wow, to be honest. That's why I have to read off of it, because there's no perfect way to sharing it than just reading it, because it's way too good. And I don't want to miss out on some powerful information. In truth, the body is the servant of the mind. It follows that if the body has become the mind, the servant has become the master. See? Crazy. Now, let's say that the mind wants to go back in control. What do you think the body is going to say? Okay, I'm going to give you a little. It's not going to say that, but that's what it says. Where have you been? Go back to sleep. I've got it together here. You don't have the will, the persistence, or the awareness to do what I have been doing all this time while you were unconsciously following my orders. It's kind of rude if you ask me. I even modified my receptor sites over the years in order to serve you better. Serve you better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Serve me better. You thought you were running things while I have been influencing you all along and urging you to make all of your decisions equal to what feels right and familiar. AKA not having freaking control of nothing there. Your body literally controlling it all with your feelings, and you're just over here like in the Bill CPAP world, not culture, not controlling everything in the comfort zone. You're just doing everything on autopilot and you're not stressed. Some people are okay with that, which is what we call average living, average people. You know, if I believe if you're here, we're not that class. We're not in that group, right? We're above average, right? We're another level here. Sarah's like, I'm not okay. And when the 5% that is conscious is going against 95% that is running subconscious automatic programs, the 95% is so reflexive that it only thinks one straight thought or a single stimulus from the environment to turn on the automatic program again. It's going to be very hard for you to, you know, fight against that 95%. And there's like a lot of things that could just a little thought, just like it says, a little stimuli that could just kick back the automatic response. And then you're back at it again. Okay. Which is why we say it's important to work on it every single day. And as long as you're aware, you're one step further to, you know, being conscious, right? And then what happens is that we're back to the same old, right? Thinking the same thoughts, performing the same actions, but expecting something different to happen in our life. That's what happens, is that a lot of people expect new things and they want new results. And oh my God, I'm so excited for the new life I'm going to have. But every day you think the same way and you feel the same way and you do the same things. That to me is insanity. It's insanity to expect new results with the same type of behavior, with the same, you know, what got you here is not going to get you to the next level. Right. And you're not going to find solutions thinking the same thoughts that got you in the problem in the first place. You understand that, right? That's insanity to expect that. When we try to regain control, this is when the body signals the brain to begin talking us out of our conscious goals. Our internal chatter comes up with a battery of reasons why we should not attempt to do anything out of the ordinary, not break out of the habituated state of being that we're used to. It will pick up all of our weaknesses, which it knows and fosters, and hurl them at us one by one. Crazy, eh? Because the thing is that the subconscious mind only knows what you have programmed it to do, which is why it's really hard. But when we say breaking generational curses and all that stuff, because you're literally reprogramming something that you've been doing for years and years and years. That's why we say, like, it's a journey. It's a process. It's work that you have to do every single day. It's like, as much as I'm reading this, and it's not the first time that I hear stuff like that, it's a never ending work in progress. And if you stop working on it for long enough, you can get back quick like this, back to square one, right? Because this is something that you have to really break the habit of being yourself and break the way you've been conditioned. It's like your relationship with money, your relationship with others, boundaries in your families, all of these things that have been installed in your brain and in your unconscious mind for years and years and years. It's not going to happen overnight that you're going to change that. You know what I mean? And when we read stuff like that, I feel like we just understand, like, wow, okay, it's like even deeper work than I thought. You know what I mean? But it's possible, because just as much as you've been able to program yourself a certain way, you're able to reprogram yourself another way. That's what's positive about this, right? It's that you're able to reprogram your mind at any time. It just takes you to, just going to require you to be intentional about it. In effect, which, you know, you have to deprogram or unwire your old thinking and feeling patterns, and then reprogram or rewire your brain with new patterns of thinking and feelings based on who you want to be instead, just like what I said right now. Okay. When you condition the body with a new mind, the two can no longer work in opposition, but must be in harmony. This is the point of change of self-creation. Okay. Very powerful. And you're powerful enough to do that, just so you know. Okay. Now, again, another example. Sorry. Imagine that you frequently feel guilty about one thing or another. If something goes wrong in a relationship, you wind up taking the blame and feeling bad. Picture yourself as one of those people who repeatedly say or think it was my fault. A lot of people have that, go through that in very toxic relationship, very toxic what, you know, matrimonial relationship, whatever it is, with friendships, with your boyfriend, significant other, whatever it is, right? After 20 years of doing this to yourself, you know, when you get in, you marry somebody, shit hits the fan, doesn't work, 20 years, toxic relationship, but you're in the victim mindset because maybe your significant other is so toxic that it puts everything on you. But just imagine 20 years of doing this to yourself. You feel guilty and think guilty thoughts automatically. Like, it's not going to be your fault, but you still feel like it is. Like, you know, something broke. Oh, it's got to be my fault. You know that there's people like that. I've met people like that. Or, you know, people that sometimes it feels like they like to suffer, but it's because they've been programmed so much that they think that that's what they deserve, to suffer and to feel the guilt and to feel sad. It's so sad, but it happens all the time. And I've seen it so many times in my life. And yeah, anyways, every time you think a guilty thought, you've signaled your body to produce the specific chemicals that make up the feeling of guilt. That's how you create the feelings, right? You've done this so often that your cells are swimming in the sea of guilt chemicals. They're chilling out there in the guilt sea. You know what I mean? That's what's happening there. The enormous amount of guilt bathing the cells begins to feel normal to them. And eventually what the body perceives as normal starts to be interpreted as pleasurable. That's when it's to the point where it starts, your body craves that feeling of guilt. So anything that can trigger that feeling of guilt, your body wants it. Can you imagine that? Like, you crave feelings of guilt or feeling of sadness, or, you know, you crave that to a certain extent because you do it so much. I grew up always apologizing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of, like, I used to do that at some point, and I had to stop. I would say, oh, I'm sorry, but why? I didn't even do anything. You know what I mean? Things like that, or when you've been shut down so many times, or you talk too much. A lot of people, like, they've been told that so much, they get triggered when they know little things like that. So that's the way we've been conditioned. Sometimes the way we were raised, obviously, sometimes our parents didn't know better, but that does truly affect, you know, the way that our upcoming, you know what I mean? And that what happens is that now the body demands, what happens is that the more you do it, it's just like drugs. That's what it says here. The more you do it, the more you'll need more to activate it. Okay, so now the body demands a stronger emotional rush of feeling bad in order to feel alive. Because you start to crave it, the bad feeling. But then what happens is, like, when people do drugs or they do cigarettes, they'll start with one, but then they'll crave more and more because your body wants it now. Now it's the body that controls your mind now. So it's not you saying, you know, cigarette is not good for you, but now your body wants it. It's very hard to say no to that crave. It's like when you want chocolate, when you want sweets, you know, if you don't want to be, I'm being dramatic here, but because it truly is that way though. You know what I mean? So you become addicted to guilt by your own doing. Okay. Not only is your mind not conscious of how you express your guilty state by way of the things you say and do, but your body wants to feel its accustomed level of guilt because that's what you've been trained. That's what you've trained it to do. You've trained your body. Unfortunately, it's on you. You've trained your body to feel guilty, and now your body wants to feel guilty at all times. So what it's doing, it's feeling bad. So then you think bad, and then you feel bad, and then it's that negative cycle that's happening there, and you stay right there. Then you feel guilty, but it makes you, you don't know that, but your body is satisfied. You're satisfying your body by staying there because now is your body that's craving it. Your body's controlling. Basically, again, body has become the master of the mind, but it's not supposed to go that way. Okay, so you have become unconsciously guilty most of the time, and your body has become the mind of guilt. And in this case, we're taking the example of guilt, but there's other feelings that could be happening as well. Okay. Unfortunately, your body's cells aren't feeling so good. Over the years, you've trained them to demand more molecules of emotion, guilt in this case, in order to fulfill their chemical needs. Like, it's to a deeper level. Like, it's very deep. That's really exactly what explains how you get addicted to drugs, to little things like that, to feelings, to the certain way people treat you. It's like sometimes we see women, you know, how women or men in a very toxic relationship, and it's to the point where, like, they don't even know, but they're going to put themselves in situations where they really crave to be treated a certain way, but they don't want that. It's not really, really, really what they want, but because they've been doing it so much over and over and over, addicted to bare minimum. Yeah, they get it. It's crazy. It's crazy. We do that to ourselves, but then it's to the point where you're just unconscious. You don't know you're doing that to yourself until you read the book and you realize all of it. Okay. So the body becomes addicted to guilt or any emotion in the same way that it would get addicted to drugs. And trying to change your emotional pattern is like going through drug withdrawal. You know what I mean? Because every time you need to fight the urge of having, of feeling that way, you know? The thing is that all the time, okay, at all time, that your body wants you to return to your memorized chemical self, okay? So it can influence you in the way you think, okay? So it activates the corresponding networks of neurons that have fired and wired for years, which are equal to the mind of that feeling. That's what it's doing consistently to put you back in that, because you've conditioned it to do it so much that it wants to, like, it feels, your body thinks that that's the state of you being happy just because you've done it so much. It doesn't know if it's, you know what I mean? If it's good or bad for you. These fast track and slow track cellular response occur simultaneously. And the next thing you know, you start to hear the chatter of thoughts like these in your head. You're too tired today. You can start tomorrow. So every time you're going to try to fight that, no, it's fine. You're tired today. Do it tomorrow. You know, when you tell yourself that, you know, Demra, this is bullshit. You can do it tomorrow. We'll do it later. You know, you're not going to do it later. Your body is winning right now. You're letting it win. This doesn't feel right. Okay. And if that doesn't work, a second sneak attack occurs. The body mind wants to be in control again. So it starts picking on you a bit. It's okay for you to feel a little bit bad right now. It's your father's fault. Don't you feel bad about what you did in your past? In fact, let's take a look at your past so we can remember why you're on this way, right? Look at you. You're a mess. You're a loser. You're pathetic and weak. It's very deep here. Your life is a failure. You'll never change. You're too much like your mother. Why don't you just quit? That's what it's saying. Imagine, you know, and I'm sure you've had that sometimes consciously and sometimes just you don't even know that's happening. Okay. The body is tempting the mind to return to the state it has unconsciously memorized. Right. On a rational level, that is observed. Right. But obviously on some level, it feels good to feel bad. Crazy. This is so toxic. Crazy. Anyways. The funny thing is, which I don't think is funny, but anyways, it's funny. That's what they say here, is that we begin to actually believe what the body is telling the brain, right? We start to believe it. Okay. We immerse ourselves back into that automatic program and return to being our old self. So for example, let's say your entire life, your parents have told you, you suck, you're dumb, you're weak. You don't, because unfortunately some people, they go through that. You start to believe it. And then what happens is that you start relieving it to the point where your body craves that type of feelings. You know what I mean? That's what creates very like low people that have very low self-confidence, you know, and all that stuff. So yeah. When we give in to the cravings, okay, when we give in to the cravings, we will keep producing the same outcomes in our lives because the mind and body are in a position. Our thoughts and feelings are working against each other. And if the body has become the mind, we will always fall prey to how we feel. See? So the next step in breaking the habit of being ourselves is understanding how important it is to get the mind and body working together and to break the chemical continuity of our guilty, ashamed, angry, depressed state of being. Okay, it is essential to unmemorize an emotion that has become part of your personality and then to recondition the body to a new mind. Okay. The good news is, the good news is we can become consciously aware of these tendencies. You know how we're becoming aware now as we're talking about it and going over the material, so we can become aware of it and change that. It's not like you messed up for life. No worries. You can overcome it if you're aware. So I hope that by now you understand that in order to change your personality, you need to change your state of being, which is intimately connected to feelings that you've memorized. Okay, just as negative emotions can become embedded in the operating system of your subconscious, so can positive ones through practice, through repetition of being in this in a state of feeling good, you can reprogram your mind. Okay. By definitions, emotions are the end products of past experiences in life. Okay. When you're in the midst of an experience, the brain receives vital information from the external environment through five different sensory pathways: sight, smell, sound, taste, and touch. Right? Think of your body as the unconscious mind, or as an object servant that takes orders from your consciousness. It is so objective that it doesn't know the difference between the emotions that are created from the experience of the external world and those you fabricate in your internal world by thoughts alone. To the body, they're the same. That's why we say the body and your brain doesn't know the difference between what's true and what's not. If you feel good, or if you feel like you've already made $1 million, if you feel like you've already accomplished, it's going to believe it. That's why we say we have to be able to think greater than your feelings. Think greater than your mind. Think and feel greater than your environment. Because it doesn't, at a certain extent, it's not going to know if it's true or not. You know what I mean? And that's how you train your mind, by being able to think. So this chemical continuity fools the body into believing that it is still re-experiencing the past. So the body keeps relieving the same emotional experience. When your memorized thoughts and feeling consistently force your body to be in the past, we could say that the body becomes the memory of the past. Okay. In time, your body is just anchored in the past. Okay. You know that when you repeatedly recreate the same emotions until you cannot think any greater than how you feel, your feelings are now the means of your thinking. You're thinking in the past. And by quantum law, if you think in the past, you create more of the past, right? You attract with it. You attract what you think about most. Okay. You become what you think about most, all of that. Okay. Bottom line, most of us live in the past and resist living in a new future. Why? The body is so habituated to memorizing the chemical records of our past experiences that it grows attached to these emotions. In a very real sense, we become addicted to familiar feelings. So now that we've gone over all of that, what we can understand is the only way that you can overcome your body is if you're able to think beyond and above your feelings. And above your body, because feelings are the language of the body. And you know how we say thoughts control your feelings control your actions control, you know that? It's the same thing here. And it's the reason why it's so hard is because sometimes you're really not going to feel great, but you got to be able to put yourself in a state where you are feeling happy, in a state where you are feeling abundant, in a state where you have what you want accomplished. Okay. That's why most people don't accomplish this, because they're going to focus on what's happening in their external world. It's the same thing as overcoming your environment, just different wording, but it's the same thing. When you don't see your results in the physical world, you got to still be able to believe it. You have to believe in the unseen. You have to be able to think as if it's done. Why do we, and that's exactly why we suggest doing visualization. In this case, guided meditation, guided visualization, breath work are things that can help you, overcome that. Okay. So that's pretty much it for that, guys. Overall, you have to understand that this is not something that's going to happen overnight. But the good thing is that as much as you've been able to program your mind to think negatively and to suffer again and again and again and again and again, you're able to unwire your brain to do something new. Okay. You're able to unwire your brain and reprogram your brain to new automatic responses, right? To new automatic patterns that you're able to create. Because just so you know, everything that you've done so far has just created a certain thinking pattern in your brain, and to the point where you're no longer control of it. Your body is controlling your mind. And your mind is no longer controlling, but you know you're the creator of your life and that you're powerful enough to change the way you think. But until you're aware of it and until you work towards it every single day, you're not going to be able to accomplish it, and your mind will be, and your body will be the master of your mind. And it's not true. Your mind should be the master of your body. But we get lost into that, lost in the sauce when we rethink the same things, which is why Sometimes I say it's a good thing to cut people off from your life. And sometimes it's okay to leave people, because sometimes seeing people triggers those chemicals patterns. They get activated. And then what happens? You just relive the same old and the same old. Certain places, there are certain places or certain songs that to me act, that's a stimuli. What we call a stimuli, and those things activates those feelings, okay, and then our neurotransmitters ding, 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 and then the transmissions, right? So there's the neurotransmitters, neural things, and then the hormones, the feelings, and then your body control. You see, that's the same, it's the chemical ways, that's what happens. The stimuli activates, and the stimuli could be a person, it could be a place, it could be a song, it could be a smell, it could be a not a certain shirt that you remember you wore that one night that happened, something crazy happened, right? And then what happens is that you're just brought back to the way you were feeling, and then that affects the way you're thinking. But you have to take over, and even though the days you're not feeling good, you have to force yourself of thinking good thoughts, because what you're doing is that you're just activating the craving. Just like drugs, you're getting addicted every single day. Every time you give in the craving, you're just building that again, just like a drug addict. You become addict to feeling bad. You become addict to feeling guilty. You become addict to being negative and being a victim. So now let's reprogram our brain. Let's be aware starting today and look at what we could do to reprogram our brain. Obviously, I'm going to be giving you more tips in the next couple of weeks. It's not going to be ending here. But at least now what we've done is that we're really aware, and we understand that there is a possibility for you to overcome your body. But until you're aware, until you're intentional, it's not going to happen, because you're literally fighting with 90. There's literally only 5% of you that's battling against 95% of what's unconscious, and battling against 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and 20 years of conditioning. It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to happen if you wanted to, because you're that powerful. So if you were tuning in from the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in with me today for another amazing episode of Wake Up with WFAB. My name is Coach Sabrina. You can follow me on Instagram at @SabrinaCVidal. If you listen to this episode, you can tag me. You can let me know your thoughts. Let me know if it was helpful. And I'll see you guys on another episode.